Turn your Bible with me, if you would, or you can see it on our screen, of course. 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, in verses 13 through 30. We'll read again in your hearing. We continue our series from Genesis. And again, we'll begin reading the 32nd chapter, rather, at verse 13. If you've been searching for that passage in your Bibles, if you have it, please say amen. Those who are not, you may find the text on our screen, of course. And it begins as follows. So he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, "Pass on ahead of me, and put a space between drove and drove." He instructed the first, and said, "When Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, 'To whom do you belong, and where are you going, and whose are these ahead of you?' Then you shall say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob, and they are presents sent to my lord Esau. And moreover, he is behind us.' He likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves. You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him, and you shall say, 'Moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us.' For he thought, 'I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterward I'll see his face, and perhaps he will accept me.' So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok, and he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. The man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day is broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen the face of God. I've seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.'" The word of the Lord. We have, of course, in length discussed Jacob's journey, and we've delved into the 30th chapter, and we've seen the birth of the heads of the tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob. And with all the stuff that Jacob had to endure in Haran or Padan Aram, the story of Jacob's family takes a dramatic turn now. He served Laban for 14 years, 7 years for Rachel, 7 years for Leah. He's lived in exile now nearly 20 years, and he's fathered a nation. Jacob was subsequently tricked and woefully deceived by his father-in-law / uncle. And with all of that, Jacob dramatically built up Laban's family business, Laban's wealth, and went from having little many years ago to being a man of great substance himself. But now it's time to go. It's time to go. He tells Laban that it's time for me to go to back home to my people, to my land, my home. It appears to me that Jacob's life with Laban in Padan Aram is a snapshot of our own individual lives to some extent. There are decisions and mistakes and consequences of those mistakes and consequences of good decisions also. That we pick up and we move, we settle in, and hopefully by God's grace we land on our feet and even make a life. Jacob's life is a reflection of our life to that extent. And Jacob has proven to us, just as we have seen in our own lives, the truth also that God is everywhere. I haven't always lived in Texas, but every place that Cynthia and I have gone, we have always had a strong sense that God was there. And I'm sure that you have as well in your Christian life, or perhaps even reflecting back before you were a Christian, that the sovereign hand of God was upon your life even before there was a public profession of faith, that God protected you. The Lord was in Canaan. The Lord was found even in Luz, so much to the point that with that dramatic experience Jacob had there, he changed the name from Luz to Bethel, the house of God. God was in Bethel. Now we see the Lord is in Padan Aram. Truly, the Lord is everywhere. And God is everywhere working. Some of us have even found the presence of God in both common and unusual places. And I've spoken about a time when I was working, and every lunch period, a supervisor's shack became a place of worship. God was unusually there. And I sensed the presence and the voice and the direction of God. God's indeed in, or can be found in, our new careers and new work experiences in distant places from home. We hear of people who've gone into the military and fought on foreign soils or served in foreign lands, and they've realized that God is there. God's presence is in rehabilitation wards and hospital rooms, and as I mentioned, battlegrounds, even in times of war. God is everywhere, and with Jacob making plans to move again, this time back home to the land of his father, Isaac, he can expect God to be there. I say to you that whatever life affords to you, and wherever God is leading you, you can be rest assured that God is there. David, of course, asked the rhetorical question, and you know it, where can I go to flee God's presence? And of course, the answer is nowhere. Now, Jacob doesn't need Laban's permission, strictly. He doesn't need Laban's permission to leave. He only needs God's permission. See that Jacob and made a pronouncement to his boss, to his father-in-law / uncle, and wanted to leave. But we also find, when we read just a little further, that it was not yet time for him to leave, and the Lord didn't give him permission. And that's where we find it to be so important, imperative for us to listen to the voice of God, because everything that I want to do is not God's will, or at least not at that time. And certainly everything that any of us want to do all the time is not always the right time or the right thing according to God's will. Well, in verse 28 of chapter 30, Jacob says that he wants to leave. Laban says, no, I want you to stay. Just name your price. Name your wage and let's see what can be done about it. I want you to stay a while. Name your wage and I will give it. Well, when you receive that kind of an offer, it's kind of hard, if you're really wanting to leave, to walk away from that kind of a deal. He's telling him that there's no price too high. Laban doesn't want Jacob to leave, obviously. He doesn't want him to leave because of Jacob's talent as a herdsman, but because when he leaves, he's also going to take a part of his family with him. It's not uncommon for those outside of God's covenant, even sometimes profane people, who exhibit no real desire to know God, to want the company or the employ of God's children, because they know their business will benefit, or they themselves will personally benefit. You've seen it, an example of it, and I've seen examples of it when some people who don't know Christ and show no real inclination to walk with Christ or to claim His as their own, but yet and still they want and think it's important that they have Christian friends, because they believe that our connection with God and our prayers can benefit them. Laban didn't believe in Jacob's God. He believed in Jacob's talent and his work that paid off handsomely, and now he says, I don't want you to leave. Well, Jacob responds and says, for you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. Well, some people say that may be bragging, but some others say if it's true, it's not bragging, it's fact. It's true that Laban's business, his herds, have greatly expanded because of the expertise of Jacob and because the hand of God was upon Jacob in his work. That's a true statement. Laban is blessed because of Jacob. So for Jacob to leave Laban's employ means Laban's business will suffer. The blessing Laban's business enjoys from the very hand of God is the result of God's common grace. The free goodness of God given for all to enjoy, some more so than others, without deserving it or earning it, but purely because our God is a good God. I found it very interesting as I thought about this, that how often people accuse or question God for allowing certain evil acts of mankind or the ravages of nature to visit them, but these same persons never question the goodness of God that is dispensed without merit or worthiness. Even the wicked enjoy the fruits of the earth, the full benefits of God's creation, suitable employment, adequate and sometimes even luxurious shelter, good health and long life, loving wives and extended families. Many of those who accuse God of allowing evil or catastrophic events and therefore say God is, how can we say God is a good God? I wonder how many of them ever pause and thank God each and every day, each and every minute of every day, each and every second of every minute. How many of them pause and thank God for His goodness to them, His common goodness of sunshine and rain, and having shelter and clothing and employment and sufficient money in the bank to pay our bills and to be surrounded by loving families. It's not a benefit we deserve. It's not a benefit we earn or merit. It is the common goodness of God that is shared not only with God's people, but shared with people who don't know God, some even who curse God. Verse 31, he says, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. In other words, I'm going to earn everything that I'm asking for. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. So here's my request for wages. If you meet that, I will again herd the flocks. Jacob agrees to postpone his return home and continue herding Laban's flocks under one condition. He'll be given all the speckled and spotted sheep, all the black lambs, and the speckled and spotted goats as his wages. Laban goes through his flock, picks those out. Interestingly enough, he tells his sons, I want you to account for them. Laban removed the male goats in verse 35 that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. Jacob couldn't cheat. He had people watching over him and what he was doing. Now Laban was a cheater. And maybe a cheater didn't trust anyone else either. But it's clear he doesn't trust Jacob. He employs his son to watch over the sheep that he separated. Jacob couldn't have any advantage because of the flock, because of his flock of spotted and speckled sheep, and the goats have been removed from the others under the guard of Laban's sons. The more difficult the world makes our circumstance, the more they make it improbable we will succeed. The greater the challenge you and I face in this world, it only magnifies the miracle God is going to perform for us. Laban making it more difficult for Jacob was not a challenge for God. To make sure there was no cheating, Laban put a 3-mile space in between his flock and the rest of his white wooled flock that Jacob was herding. Verse 37 through 39 is a little odd because it says this: Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond, these are trees or types of wood, and plane trees, and peeled white streaks in them and exposed the white of the sticks. Verse 38, he set the sticks that they would be peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted lambs. Well, that sounds a little superstitious. There is certainly no medical, or I should say no biological evidence that animals' offspring can be influenced in this manner. But nevertheless, this is what Jacob did. Jacob uses his experience as a shepherd and keeper of sheep and flocks and employs this selective breeding technique so that his smaller herd would grow, and it did. It did. As unlikely as it may have sounded, it did. God blessed Jacob's technique, and the flock grew and fast, and it grew large, so much so that Jacob's herds grew larger than Laban's herd. And verse 43 says, thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants, and camels and donkeys. In the meantime, Jacob's flock given to him as wages grew large, as we said, and increased greatly. God gives Jacob permission to leave Laban sometime later now. And in chapter 31, verse 3, it says this: return to the land of your fathers and your kindred, and I will be with you. This whole experience of working for Laban again, signing another employment contract with Laban, and then seeing how that God has blessed his efforts and how his flocks had grown substantially, it's evidence that God was with him. As we move from station to station in life, isn't it reassuring to know that God is with us? That we see the manifestation of the hand of God. We see the affirmation of the presence of God upon our lives. And that we're not just walking to be walking. We're not walking in our own power. We're not choosing our own destination. But God is leading us. Jacob's experience with God here in this second stay with Laban is important. Now the Lord says, the first time Jacob says, I want to go. Now the Lord himself says, now I want you to go. That's what we have to wait for. In any decision that we're attempting to make, that's what we have to wait for. We have to wait for the Lord to say, okay. Whatever it is, whatever you're praying about, it's important that we don't just exert our own will and then try to substantiate it or justify it. It's important that we wait for the Lord to say, okay, now is the time. You know, every decision that we make obviously is not wrong. Every decision that the Lord says no to or doesn't give us a response isn't necessarily wrong. It could simply be the wrong time. He not only tells him to go, but he tells him something important. A lesson Jacob should have learned these last few years with Laban. He says, I will be with you. He was with him in Laban when he was mistreated. And the Lord is saying, I'm sending you away now back to your home. I will be with you. Jacob's prosperity is another lesson. Jacob's prosperity is not due to any superstition or any odd or strange breeding technique that has something to do with wood. Jacob's prosperity is not due to any of these strategies to grow his flock. His success was only because of God. Are we anxious to give God the credit for what God is doing in our life? It's dangerous to make much of ourselves. And often God has to humble us. He does that because we're His, we're His children, and He loves us, and He wants us to be obedient, and He wants us to follow His ways and His will. Well, verse 9 says, thus God has taken away the livestock of your father, Jacob speaking to his wives, Leah and Rachel, and given them to me. Jacob is saying, this is all the work of God. For I have seen all that Laban is doing. This is the Lord speaking. Just as God saw Leah and saw Rachel, and God saw also what Laban was doing to Jacob. Now God saw that Jacob worshiped the Lord in Bethel, and set up pillar there as a monument saying, surely the Lord is in this place and I didn't know it. God has seen all of this. And he says, now it's time for you to go. This is what happens when the Lord chooses to bless us, referring to Jacob's success of building these large flocks. When the Lord chooses to bless you, our personal ingenuity and skill is not enough. There's many people who have genius ideas, but they have no financial backing to pull it off. There are many people who have a lot of money, but they have bad ideas, and that doesn't work either. Ingenuity, ideas, skill is not enough. So we're given the favor of God, and we are blessed. Jacob was wise enough to give the Lord, Elohim, all the credit for his success. Also of note is the fact that in all of Jacob's success that God blessed him with, and the large flocks of sheep and goats, the entire time he was in Padan Aram, there's also something unusual. When you're looking around at all of these flocks, there's not one time that you heard that Jacob sacrificed even one of them to the Lord. The whole idea of substitutionary sacrifice was begun by Jacob's father, Abraham, and it involved his father, Isaac. But we have no record, as best I can tell, of Jacob making a sacrifice while he was with Laban. Secondly, we also don't have a record of Jacob building an altar while he was with his pagan father-in-law / Uncle Laban. In reflection here, we see Jacob so obviously blessed, so magnificently blessed. You could not deny the blessings of God upon Jacob. It's the realization of the original promise that God gave to his grandfather Abraham. Genesis 12, the first three verses. And the Lord says, I will bless you. Now, the ultimate blessing is the birth of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. As my pastor, and some of you know Darwin Jordan, he would say it like this, that blessing in Christ is beyond imagination. He is the final fulfillment, speaking of Jesus Christ. The ultimate blessing of the covenant of Abraham. He is the final fulfillment and manifestation of that blessing. Well, with the tremendous outpouring of God's blessing upon Jacob, and God saying, now it's time to move on, and the promise of God that I will be with you, Jacob can leave the house of Laban with his expanded family, his expanded possessions, and know that there is greater blessings to come. The blessings of Jacob continue. The blessings continue through Jacob's family in Christ Jesus. When Jesus himself said in John 10, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. As Jacob's blessings were abundant, the blessings that you and I receive as recipients of that blessing are no less abundant. I might give you life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10. Let's pray.